Mediatrix Radio presents Pathways to Rome, a weekly hour-long journey that brings Rome home for you. Father Jeffrey Kirby, along with Gus Killow and Kathy Kerfoot, take us on an audio tour of the Vatican where every work of art, building, and liturgical event is a unique expression of Christianity. The center of the Catholic faith teaches while it inspires, but there's a lot to learn. So let's join our tour guides for this week's apologetic adventure.
Hello, I want to thank you all for joining us for our show, Pathways to Rome. I'm Father Jeff Kirby, along with Gus Killow.
Hey, Father, how are you?
And Kathy Carefoot.
Hi.
And our show today, Pathways to Rome, what does that mean? What is the show all about? Our show will be attempting to bring Rome into our homes. The Catholic Church is a worldwide, multi-generational reality, and what we're going to be trying to do is bring all that stuff, all those things that are going on over there, into our homes. What does it mean to us when the Pope meets with this world leader or issues this document? What's the importance? Why is this significant to me? How should this change my life, my understanding of the Christian message? That's what we're going to be doing. That's our goal. And we're going to have fun doing it, right, Gus?
Yeah.
Kathy, you're going to have some great times. All right. Yeah. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. Kathy, can you tell the folks about yourself?
Sure. My name is Kathy Kerfoot. I've been here in Spartanburg for 13 years, married to my husband, Bill, and we have four children, Allison, Billy, Chris, and David. I go to JORS, which is Jesus, Our Risen Savior, and I teach confirmation there. I teach the high school kids apologetics and just whatever other teaching goes along with their youth ministry evenings.
And you have a blast doing it, right?
I love it.
Excellent. Gus, what about yourself?
My name is Atticus Gillow. My nickname's Gus. We moved to South Carolina about almost 6 years ago. I'm married to Christy, a former pediatric nurse, and we have six boys.
Six kids.
Yeah, well, you know, we're working on the girls now.
Okay. Fruitful and multiply.
Yes. Very blessed. We go to Prince of Peace and Taylor's right near our house in Greenville. Three of our boys are altar boys there, and I'm involved with the youth group there at Prince of Peace. My background is I went to the University of Dallas, which is actually a Catholic college, and studied philosophy there, and had a semester in Rome, so I'm really excited to talk about Rome with you here today. So.
Excellent. I'm also excited. Each of our co-hosts brings so much insight, so many different experiences, Gus, Kathy, myself. We're going to be sitting here together talking about what is going on in Rome, why it's important, how it shapes our understanding, how we understand things, and the impetus to our show, Pathways to Rome, is I'm going to Rome. Woo. Gus, did you hear about that?
I feel very sorry for you, Father.
That's right. You know, some guys, you know, so some guys have all the luck. Huh? And I'll actually be heading over here in just a little bit. That's be doing, awesome. Hopefully, some good stuff for the Lord over in the Eternal City.
Excellent. Tell me what you're doing in Rome and why you're going.
Yeah, well, basically to sleep and vacation. No. No, not at all. Not at all. Hopefully catch up on some sleep, but no, more importantly, my bishop, Bishop Guglielmone here in Charleston, is sending me over for another year of specialized studies in moral theology for a degree that's called a license. And a license is basically just a special degree that allows someone to speak with a little more authority in a particular field of theology. So I'll be going over there to study, and it'll be one academic year, about 10 months. And while I'm over there, we'll be in touch and sending some stuff back to the show and talking about how this is significant, how we understand it, and how it should be lived. That's the most important thing. You know, as Catholics, we are part of this vast network and reality and worldview. So many things are happening in our church, and we're connected to it. And oftentimes, being in the pews, we miss it. The hustle and bustle, there's so much going on, and who can keep up with what's going on? And more importantly, why is that important to me? Why should I care that the Pope has met with President Obama? Why should I care about a new social justice document? What does that even mean? And so our efforts, my efforts will be send some stuff back to you, and the three of us be kind of talking about
it. Help us feel plugged into Rome, our true home.
That's right.
That's so important, because when we're in Mass and we have the homily, it's not from that perspective. The homily is from the readings, but we still don't have that connection to Rome, to the Vatican, which we still need to have. And that's part of living it.
Absolutely. And oftentimes, you know, when we speak of Rome, and when we speak of Rome, we're, of course, speaking of Christian Rome. you could talk about the realities of Rome. There's certainly the secular Rome. It is the capital of a first world nation. We can speak about ancient Rome, and that's important to us as Westerners as well. This pagan Rome that brought so much and contributed so much to our understanding today of justice, of law. But more importantly, what we're talking about when we speak of Rome, Kathy, you mentioned Rome and the Vatican. We're speaking of Christian Rome. And Christian Rome is the heart of all the other Romes, because it is the blood of the martyrs, the power of the Holy Spirit, that gives Rome this significance. That's why as Catholics throughout the world have the fullness of faith, we look to Rome.
Right.
And I want to take us to the end of the Gospel of, according to St. John. At the end of John's Gospel, John tells us that Peter was told by the Lord Jesus, now you're young, you go where you want. But there will be a time when you are old, and you will go where you do not want to go. And John tells us in his Gospel that Jesus was prophesying the death of Peter. And we know that Peter felt that apostolic urge, that apostolic zeal to go to Rome to preach. Mm-hmm. And he preached throughout the city of Rome. When his life was threatened, he began to leave Rome. And he's fleeing Rome, weakness of his human nature, and he encounters an apparition of the Lord Jesus.
Quo vadis, huh?
Quo vadis, that's
quo
right.
Quo vadis, Domine? Absolutely. Where are you going, Lord?
Peter asks Jesus, exactly, quo vadis, Domine, in English, where are you going, Lord? And Jesus tells him, I'm going back to Rome to be crucified again. And Peter understood at that moment that Jesus was telling Peter, you're my Pope, you're my Vicar. You're the leader of my church. Go back and die for my faith. Give the ultimate testimony to my teachings with your blood. We know Peter goes back. He's taken into custody. He's crucified upside down in the circus of Nero in the Vatican Gardens. And he dies for the faith, giving that testimony. And, you know, each of our lives, we each have a journey of faith. We go through ups and downs, we go through challenges, we go through moments of weakness, we go through moments of conversion and so on. And maybe it's worth talking a little bit about that. You know, Kathy, can you tell us maybe a little bit about your journey of faith?
Certainly. Well, like I said at the beginning, I was raised a cradle Catholic in a very Catholic family. It was our whole world. Every holiday, every celebration was religious oriented. And I grew up in the faith and made all my sacraments. When I got married, left the church for a while. It just didn't pull me in and keep me there for a few years. It wasn't until the time that we started having children that my husband and I both said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it all the way, and we're going to do it right. And we jumped back in it with 2 feet. I knew what I needed to do. I knew the way I was raised. And my children are all, you know, raised in the church, wonderfully growing in the spirit in the church, and it's such a beautiful thing to see. And I hate that I left that for a short while, but just so pleased that the Spirit has been working in my children and the family life the way that it has.
What differences have you seen in your life, and especially maybe in your marriage, since you and your husband came back to the church?
Well, first of all, my husband was Lutheran when we married, so that was part of, well, do we go to your church? Do we go to my church? It was easier to stay in bed on Sunday morning and or go to the beach or something like that. But when we had children, we knew the way we wanted to raise them, the way that we were raised. And it took a while for my husband to come to the Catholic Church, but about 8 years ago, he came into the church. It was one of those things where my youngest said, how come Daddy doesn't go up and receive communion with you and the others? And that really struck my husband, and he knew he wanted to be a part of it. He was already a part of it by raising the family in the Catholic Church, but he knew he needed to be fully at the table with us.
Yes. And how long have you been married, Kathy?
Oh, I'm sorry, 28 years.
28
years this year.
Wow. Praise That's God. Up. Excellent, That's excellent. Up. And Gus, your journey of faith, what can you share with us?
Well, I'm also a cradle Catholic. At one point, I jumped out of the cradle, a little bit like Kathy. I was an altar boy when I was a kid. At one point, I remember discovering the lives of the saints and just being enamored of that. And I took it a little too far. I remember I lived in Germany, and one day I decided, I'm going to wear a hair shirt to
wow.
school. But the same day I did that, a hair shirt, you know, A friend of mine had given me this very scratchy bag, and I read that the saints love to wear hair shirts. And so I said, well, I got to wear a hair shirt if I'm going to be a saint. And I went to school, but that very day I remember playing a prank on the teacher and all. And so not a whole lot of unity of life, but I was very enamored with the lives of the saints when I was a kid, and thought at one point, even very early on, I was going to be a priest. I ended up going to the University of Dallas, which is a Catholic university, but I experienced a lot of freedom there and kind of let myself go. Didn't have that internal discipline. And I actually left the faith for about a year and a half. It was through the grace of God and reading actually the Confessions of St. Augustine.
Wow.
We were told to read that. And there's a good reason to go to a Catholic university. You might not get that in a secular university, but I read the Confessions of St. Augustine, you know, written in the 4th century, and jumped back 1500 years in time. And St. Augustine held up a mirror to my soul, and I said, that's me. And he just, you know, late have I loved you, but, you know, I mean, it was so beautiful. So I read the Confessions of Augustine. I returned to the faith with a vengeance, fell in love with our Lord again, started going to daily mass. For a while, I thought I had to go. I felt a calling to at least explore the priesthood. And I actually went and worked with Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity, and she just started the branch called the Fathers. The priests of the Missionaries of Charity started. I thought, that's it. That's where I want to go. I explored that for about 6 months. Later came to the realization I didn't have a vocation to the priesthood. Actually felt relieved because I'm like, actually, I really want to get married. I feel like, and I was blessed to meet my wife, Christy, at University of Dallas in grad school. She had come down to study bioethics, medical ethics under Dr. Wow. Janet Smith, fantastic professor who was at University of Dallas at the time. And we met there, and we had three of our 6 boys in Texas, and then moved up to New Hampshire for a bit, had 2 more boys up there, and we have 1 South Carolinian. So we have a total of 6 here. And
you got half the country covered, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. So I think, you know, I married up for sure. I think having a strong wife with a very solid faith has been very helpful. Also, we have great friends. I cannot believe that in Greenville, South Carolina, I've met more rock solid Catholics than anywhere I can remember. And I think we have a very strong network of committed, solid Catholics here, a core group. So I'm so happy to be here.
Great. I'll tell you, Gus and Kathy, I hear you both, and both of you mentioned your children and just the vocation to marriage and parenting and how important you take that. My own journey of faith is so indebted also to the witness given to me by my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But similar to Kathy's journey, my own parents left the church early. I mean, they had me baptized after, you know, 2 months after my birth, and the observance of the faith was very lived early on. I don't remember that part, but they fell away. Mm-hmm. Young couple, difficulties, and, you know, and so many things that just life just gets the best of particularly young couples, and so for most of my early life, the church was shadows in the sense of right and wrong. And how do my parents understand right and wrong? From their religious instruction.
Sure.
You know, and a right was affirmed and wrong was justly corrected and so on. Also, this strong sense of providence. You know, God has a plan.
Yeah.
You know, my father was in the military, and I remember asking him, I was like, Dad, how do we know where we're going? You know, it's like every 3 years you're in a different place, sometimes different countries. And it's like, how do we know where we're going? And I remember my father saying, well, God knows, and God has a plan.
And he'll take care.
Absolutely. You know, so early on, that was, I received shadows of the faith.
That's interesting.
And then it was at age 12 when, I'll tell you, I was with a local scout troop. I was not in the Catholic church and was there, and we were on a camping trip, and some other scouts were making fun of Catholics. And they thought that I was a member of their religion, but from a different community. And I said, well, you know, I'm Catholic, you know, and not realizing what I was saying, and really not realizing what I was saying. I was so bad, I thought we were called Roman Catholics because we were stuck in the desert for 40 years. Okay? and I couldn't understand why a leader of our church was Jewish, because the Pope wore the zecchetto, which I thought was a Jewish yarmulke. Okay? I mean, my catechism was at all time low, you know. But I remember being made fun of by these friends and so on. Obviously, they were not religious zealots for their religion. It was, at that age, something to make fun
sure.
of. But it got to me. It got to my heart. It touched some aspects of my life, a sense of belonging that was not there because we're not observing the faith. And I remember going home and crying and so upset. And my father coming, said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "You know, it's like they're making fun of me because I'm not in their religion and so on and so on." And my father's an eminently practical man. And he said, "Well, look, this is what you do. You go and attend a few of their services. Don't become their religion, you know, but just attend a few of their services. They'll see you around and they'll back off." Mm-hmm. And there's some wisdom to that counsel. But I remember sitting with him on the bed, looking at my dad and saying, "No, Dad, you know what? If they're going to make fun of a Catholic, they're going to make fun of a good one," you know. And from that point on, you know, we've been active with the faith and we've allowed the graces mm-hmm. of the faith to be into our lives and our family life and so on. And similar to that's the story you shared, and Kathy, that change is so radical.
Yes. And even when I first moved to Spartanburg, I was Catholic and practicing my faith, but it wasn't until I got here and got tested in my faith mm-hmm. and people confronted me about my faith that I really had to take a step back and say, "I need to find out some more about this," because yep. I didn't know how to answer their questions or to rebuke them when I felt I was being offended. And I went straight home and started reading and yep. started, and that's how I got into apologetics. I took those key things that I was being confronted on, that I was flabbergasted that I was even asked about, and had to articulate it, had to learn to articulate it, because it was just the way I was brought up, but I didn't know how to speak it. I didn't know how to go out there.
Could you explain apologetics? Some of our listeners might not know what you're talking about.
Sure. Apologetics basically is defending your faith. Using the Bible, we have to use the Bible here in Spartanburg because, or in anywhere in the Bible Belt, because a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters will only take what's out of the Bible. I can't say, "Well, the Pope says this," because they don't take him as an authority figure. So everything you do basically with apologetics is defending your faith from the Bible. And the Catholic Church can do that with everything. But it is not apologizing for your faith, but it is defending it.
Yes. And Gus, what are your thoughts? Have you had that experience as well?
Well, I kind of, after reading St. Augustine, I remember the thing that got me back into the church is I got into some bull session with my college buddies, and we ended up talking about purgatory, of all things. And I said, "I'm going to play devil's advocate and I'm going to poke holes in that." And believe it, this went on like for 12 hours. And I reasoned afterwards. I'm like, "Wait a minute, purgatory makes so much sense." I started doing that with all of the other dogmas of our faith and all of the doctrines and all, where I started looking at it very critically, saying, "Can I poke holes in that?" And I realized this has stood the test of time for 2,000 years. I better be the one to submit, you know, my puny intellect. I'm going to accept this. You have to be humble. You have to be willing to admit that, you know, you don't know everything. And part of, you know, Pathways to Rome, part of it is being submissive to authority and realizing that in the church we do have authority. Our authority comes from Christ. The vicar means vicarious. He represents Christ, and that authority spreads through the church.
Down to us
in the pew, you know.
That's right. And then from down from us up to the leadership.
Exactly.
You know, that we really see this as a body where that blood flows.
The mystical body.
You know, absolutely. And all of the parts of this body need one another.
Exactly.
You know, Gus, it's funny you talk about how purgatory was a part of your initial apologetics. And actually, what these friends in the scout troop when I was 12 were making fun of was actually purgatory.
Really?
And that actually made such an impression on me that to this day I have a strong devotion to praying to the holy souls in purgatory.
Mm, wow.
And when I was ordained a deacon a few years ago, actually at the altar of the chair in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, my first homily, which I preached in the Mass as a deacon, was actually at a church right down the street from St. Peter's called Sacred Heart of the Sufferance.
Wow.
And it's a church that's built in Rome just for the offering of masses for the help, the consolation of the souls in purgatory.
Wow,
and certainly at some point in our show, we're going to talk more about that.
Yeah,
that
sure.
is certainly Absolutely. A misunderstood teaching, and we need to talk about that, and particularly our act of charity as Christian believers as part of this body to pray for those brothers and sisters. But that does take us back to Rome. and to this Pathways to Rome. And Gus, you brought up this question of authority and obedience and docility. And these are all bad words in our world today.
Be your own boss, be your own person, you know.
Absolutely, Mr. Independent, Mrs. Independent, and stand on your own 2 feet. You don't need anybody else. And what an isolating and lonely worldview that is.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But Kathy, why do you think some of these words, authority, obedience, docility, why do you think these have become bad words?
Well, because of the look out for me and only me society that we live in, it's just hard to imagine that we can do everything by ourselves. We need each other. We need the church. We need the prayers of each other. We need the prayers of the communion of the saints. It just boggles the mind to think that we'd be swimming upstream all the time, you know, if we were out there on our own all the time and trying to live that mantra.
I'll tell you what disturbs me sometimes is in speaking to Catholics, to Christian believers, when they begin to describe the church, you know, and it's as if the Pope is the president or worse, the emperor, and the bishops are kind of like the lieutenants, you know, or, you know, this type of, vice emperors and so on. And there's a strong emphasis on authority, and there's this insertion of a political format to the church and a bad political format to the church. You know? And the idea is that, well, you know, that's the church, you know, the Pope, the tyrant, and he imposes things. His will is capricious, and he does whatever he wants. He can change anything he wants. And the bishops are his henchmen who are on the local level, you know, they kind of crack the whip, and everyone better toe the line and pray, pay, and obey and move on, you know? And what a horrible misunderstanding.
Unfortunately, it's a character. I remember Archbishop Fulton Sheen saying, the people who hate the Catholic Church for what she is in her essence, you could count them on the fingers of your hand. The church is so misunderstood. And that was the approach I took, is I better learn about this church, rather than be presumptuous and say, I know everything. And that's the thing with authority, is I feel so safe in knowing that Christ gave authority to the church. I'm protected. I'm safe when I follow the church. And I can be more truly free. I mean, people don't realize that freedom doesn't mean licentiousness, you know. Mm-hmm. It means the freedom to do what God wants us to do and what we're ordained to do as men and women to get to heaven. Our pathway to Rome is our pathway to heaven. I see it.
Well, and I look at it this way at the apologetics angle, that there are 24,000 different religions out there, and we're all trying to get to the one, to heaven, but we have all these choices. But God, through Jesus Christ, gave us the church. That's the one that we need to follow, the one that dates all the way back to him. And my prayer is that people will see it that way and not be floundering from one thing to another, and have that safety in the church, have in that lifeboat in the church.
Well, the bark of Peter. Huh?
That's right. And to really see that rather than a hierarchy of tyranny, what this really is, what the Lord has given to us, is really a hierarchy of service.
Well, look at the Last Supper.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he showed what authority is. And Peter's like, no, you know, then you will have no part of me then. Then wash all of me, but, you know, not just my feet, but my... Christ showed us that authority is servant leadership. And absolutely, that's how I see our Pope. And yes, we have fallen human beings in the church. That's one thing you got to get used to early on. I mean, if anybody's scandalized, I just say, well, look, Jesus chose 12 and one of them flaked out pretty bad
there. Right at the beginning.
You know, so Jesus never promised that there wouldn't be sin, but the church itself is spotless, you know, it's his bride.
That's right. And sometimes it helps, you know, we get so caught up in our own reality, or, you know, even as non-Catholic Christians might look, and we get so caught up in our views and so on, that it takes the outsider to look at our culture to help us to see things with newer eyes. And I mention that because a few years ago, a friend of mine from Sri Lanka, you know, out of the island off of India, mentioned to me, he says, your God, he's attempting to understand this, mm-hmm. So your God became a man, mm-hmm. and before he left, he gave you a part of himself, he's thinking mm-hmm. of the Eucharist, mm-hmm. and he gave you leaders, shepherds, to help you follow him until he comes back at the end of time.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. You got it.
You got it.
You got it right there. Yeah.
I was like, and to see the shepherds of the church, to see Rome and the papacy and the bishops of the world as gifts, as helps to us, mm-hmm. as we desire and seek to find the face of God in our daily lives, in our family life, in our society, and so on, you know. And that's the change, you know. And that's approaching the church as the mystical body with the act of faith, you know, in the Lord Jesus.
Right.
That's the difference, you know. Well, I'd like to maybe pick up on that a little bit more in our second segment. This question of obedience, of Rome's place in the heart of the church is the mystical body of Christ. I want to thank our listeners for joining us and hope that you'll stick with us and see you the second segment.
You're listening to Pathways to Rome, starring Father Jeffrey Kirby, along with Kathy Kerfoot and Gus Killo. Pathways to Rome is a Mediatrix radio production and can be heard weekly at this time. If you would like to listen to this show again or previous broadcast of Pathways to Rome, visit our website. Pathways to Rome was made possible by donations from Dr. Larry and Iris Minetti, Jim and Jan Carino, Donald and Marilyn Reichert, an anonymous sponsor of Catholic Radio, and contributions from Mediatrix Radio listeners. To learn more about Pathways to Rome, or to listen to this or other episodes, Mediatrix Radio's website is www.catholicradioinsc.com.
Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. James is very blunt about what will happen to us if we become so comfortable in our wealth that we believe we don't need God, so we stop seeking His kingdom. What obstacle does our money put before us, hindering our bringing God's love and compassion to others? Get rid of it. How? By investing in the incorruptible treasures of heaven so that God will then make us vessels of His mercy. And anyway, it's not our money. I'm Joe Galloway.
Put the power of video to work for you. Whether it's a short marketing presentation or an hour-long training video, turn to the Emmy Award-winning experts at Extreme Vision Studios. Present your message clearly and concisely. Video allows you to produce your image and gives you a professional look that shines. Call Extreme Vision Studios today for a free consultation. The number is 864-590-9970. That number again is 864-590-9970. Extreme Vision Studios, proud sponsor of South Carolina Catholic Radio. Polydeck Screen Corporation, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, was founded in Spartanburg in 1978 to manufacture and market modular synthetic screen media in North America. Serving the gold, copper, phosphate, and aggregate industries, Polydeck strives to honor God in all they do. Their phone number is 864-579-4594. They're also on the web at www.polydeckscreen.com. Thomas McAfee Funeral Home, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, has been serving the community since 1913. Offering personalized funeral and cremation services, they're committed to serving you and your family with dignity and respect. This family-owned business can be reached at their downtown chapel at 232-6733, or their northwest chapel at 294-6415, and they're on the web at www.thomasmcafee.com. AKJ Consulting, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, in cooperation with New Way Properties, utilizes years of experience to assist people in finding and acquiring affordable housing in the upstate. They also have a program to assist those in danger of going into foreclosure. For more information, David Case can be reached at 864-430-4877. That's 864-430-4877. Pathways to Rome was made possible by donations from Dr. Larry and Iris Minetti, Jim and Jan Carino, Donald and Marilyn Reichert, an anonymous sponsor of Catholic Radio, and contributions from Mediatrix Radio listeners. To learn more about Pathways to Rome, or to listen to this or other episodes, Mediatrix Radio's website is www.catholicradioinsc.com. And now we return to Pathways to Rome, starring Father Jeffrey Kirby with Kathy Kerfoot and Gus Killo.
welcome back to Pathways to Rome, a show that seeks to bring what happens in Rome into our own homes to show how the teachings and the life of the church should pertain to our understanding in our daily lives. We try to show you what's going on in Rome, how it's important, why it's important. That's our focus. I'm Father Jeff Kirby, joined by Gus Killow and Kathy Kerfoot. And we're going to pick up our conversation before we left in our first segment on the role of obedience. And of course, as soon as the word obedience is mentioned, each of us immediately have ideas, and most of them probably negative. So we want to kind of pick up that issue again of obedience. How, as Christians with the Spirit of Christ, who seek to live our lives with the Spirit of Christ, how we should be viewing obedience. And Gus, you want to pick that up maybe?
Yeah, it's interesting because I got in trouble when we got married, saying, I want that reading, but it's real interesting because Christy and I both, have an understanding that obedience comes from the Latin obedire, to listen. So really obedience.
Sorry, what did you say?
Well, to listen, obedience is listening, openness to direction by God. And we all have to be obedient in some way or other. We're all obedient to Christ. Obedience flows from authority through the church. Christ gave us a church, and obedience flows through the church. And we have to realize, as Catholics, we have to learn to listen. We have two ears and one mouth, and maybe listening is twice as important. So.
You give the example of Samuel, and that particular story is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I think it's so important as Catholics, as Christians, that we constantly go to the scriptures to look for examples. But we see throughout the scriptures these incredible examples of the holy men and women of our faith who heard the voice of God and followed it. The one I'm always amazed with is in the Acts of the Apostles, when Ananias gets woken up by the Lord and says, hey, go down to the street, Paul, he's going to be waiting for you, and just follow. He even gives Ananias street directions.
Yes.
Go down this street, take a left, and so on,
Yeah.
And Ananias kind of was listening and says, hey, Lord,
not that
might
one.
Not be, right?
Haven't you heard?
Haven't heard, right? I just want to give you an FYI. He's kind of persecuting us, And yet Ananias went.
Yeah.
The Lord answered him, and Ananias says, I come to do your will, and he went. And we see that throughout the scriptures. Unfortunately, we also see in the scriptures when men and women chose not to listen to God. How does that relate to our understanding of obedience? Gus mentioned it some. Kathy, are there any other stories in the scriptures that stand out to you where we see the virtue of obedience?
Oh my gosh, let it be done to me according to thy word is the first one from Mary, speaking to the angel Gabriel. And then the ultimate example of obedience is Christ, obedience to his Father even until death. Those two are huge for me. And those two being that huge, my obedience in my daily life is easy. Listening to the church, like I said, I know I'm safe if I listen to the church. I know the church cannot be in error on the matters of morals and faith. So that comforts me. It doesn't bring up those feelings of, who's telling me I have to do that? Those anxious feelings, like when anybody tells you that you have to do something. Normally, our instinct is to put up a defense, but mine, I'm grateful for the church. I'm grateful for that safety harbor.
Jump in here real quick about, as parents, our children, we expect obedience from our children, but they want that direction, because without that, family life would collapse. So children are actually looking for that direction and those boundaries.
And even when they don't want it, they need it.
Absolutely.
There's been times, like I said, my husband coming into the church when he would ask me what the church says about this, or when we were doing our wills and power of attorney and stuff like that. And if I didn't know the answers for him, I'd say, if there's a problem with me, go ask the priest. And I know that we'll be doing right, because we've looked for the authority of the church. Those things are comforting to know.
It's certainly no accident either. As we look at the scriptures in the wisdom literature, such as the book of Proverbs or the wisdom of Solomon, we see constantly the scriptures telling us that to be corrected by a just man is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes in our society we've forgotten that we don't like to be corrected. We don't, as you were saying, Kathy, like being, quote, told what to do. And yet the scriptures hold up a far different model and say, look, if a just man comes and corrects you, then that is an opportunity for freedom. As you were mentioning earlier, it's an opportunity for freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom how so? Because this just man is pointing you in the direction of justice, of holiness with God.
And it's done out of love.
Yes, yes. And so to say, well, you can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? Is to lose the opportunity for freedom, for virtue. I think sometimes we kind of have to show that humility. Another bad word, I guess, huh? That humility when it comes to the opportunity for obedience.
I think humility just means truth. I mean, knowing yourself in relation to God. You are the creature, and God is God. Humility is acknowledging that. Pride is, you know, like Lucifer. You know, I'm not going to submit to God become man. That as you know, the common belief is that that's how Lucifer fell. But humility is truth. That's all it is. I'm curious as far as obedience with the priesthood. You're obedient to your bishop. I think the laity has to be obedient to their pastor or whatever. But how does that affect your life? You're going to Rome under orders, right? Or
that's right. That's right.
Well, like I said, tough orders there. Go to Rome. You know,
exactly.
You
know, exactly.
Could have been Timbuktu.
It's a tough life. You know. No, but you know, Gus, that's a good question. And earlier in our show, you made a joke about your marriage vows and so on. And sometimes I like to remind people when they ask about the question of obedience and holy orders, myself as a diocesan priest to my bishop, to our bishop, I like to first remind them that, you know, we find obedience in both of the principal vocations of the church. In holy matrimony, we find husband being obedient to wife to husband, and this mutual self-giving of love and obedience and listening to one another, you know. And the horror and the chaos that's caused when spouse does not listen to spouse or obey spouse and so on, you know. And we see that play out oftentimes, sadly, in the lives of the children of the family. But in holy orders, we see the same virtue being held up of obedience. And of course, in holy orders, there's the solemn promise of obedience. You know, I kneel down in front of my bishop. I place my hands in his hands. He kind of holds my hands, you know, from the outside and so on. And the reason why that posture is taken is to show complete vulnerability, that I put my total trust in him. I cannot defend myself. You know? And he asks, do you promise obedience to me and my successors? I do. You know? And of course, I was ordained by Bishop Baker.
Hmm.
I wasn't expecting to have to follow that and my successors so quickly.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And of course, here in the Diocese of Charleston, we have a new bishop who is an incredible shepherd to our diocese. And yet my obedience holds. Mm-hmm. But this virtue of obedience, whether it's in holy orders, holy matrimony, whether it's just in our discipleship as baptized Christians, we've talked already about the scriptures calling out of us this virtue of obedience to listen to the voice of God. How does this play out here? Bishop points to me and says, Father Kirby, you're going to Rome. Great. All right. You know, but actually, if the bishop had said, you know, I don't want to send you back for studies. You know, I'd finished my seminary studies, was ordained, have served 2 years in the parish, and asked the bishop to consider sending me back to Rome for a year for specialized studies in moral theology towards a special degree that's called a license. And the bishop listened. It was very good. And he could have said, hey, Father Kirby, love to, we're too stretched, I need you here. And the only appropriate response would be, yes, Bishop.
And you know that's the will of God. That's your safety net, as you know. Authority flows from God. And so we know, hey, that's the will of God. I mean, all the saints always looked to, if I'm told to do it, that's the will of God. And there's safety in that, but it doesn't mean it negates our free will. It means, yes, we freely submit. I mean, the opposite of wives be submissive to your husbands. Christ loved the church, and, well, what did Christ do? He died for the church. So husbands, give your lives for your wife, and it's the flip side of the same coin, like you were saying.
Absolutely. Not only does it not stifle our freedom, but actually, by the grace of God, obedience actually perfects our freedom.
Yep.
And you know, and the church is a hierarchy in the sense of, you know, earlier in our show we talked about the bishops and the Pope as a leader, the chief leader of our church, and it's worth saying that the church is a hierarchy. But it's worth going to that word. What does hierarchy mean? Sacred order.
Hmm.
And what does that mean? Order.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not chaos.
Yes.
That there's structure. That we know who is doing what or supposed to be doing what, who has what authority, under what parameters, and so on. So Christ does not want his followers to be confused.
Right.
You know, or to flounder. I mean, any government would not function without a hierarchy of authority. And yet we look at those governments that collapse every couple hundred years, 800 years or whatever, and yet our church with this hierarchy has been going on for 2,000 years. It has to be God-led. It has to be Christ-led.
Absolutely. We see the Spirit of God offering these constant opportunities to obedience. So in this context, it was a blessing to be able to accept and to make this act of obedience with a smile on my face and so on. But I also realize that in my own spiritual life, I challenge myself in the sense of, if the bishop had said, I'm not able to, what would I have said? And in my own spiritual life, I have had to tell myself, remind myself, then I would have said, yes, Bishop, where do you want me to go? Mm-hmm. Here I am, Lord, send me.
Yeah.
You
know, right.
And so on. And I think that's the challenge.
Well, tell us some more about your studies, what you're going to be studying when you get there.
Studying what? No.
Doing what?
Right. Working very hard.
I'm going to be sleeping. No, no. Actually, the studies will be in moral theology. It'll be an academic year, so about 10 months. And the focus will be one area of moral theology is very important to me is the area of social doctrine. How it is that we take our doctrinal understandings of Jesus, of the church, of humanity, and so on, and make them real in our daily lives, in our family life, and more importantly, in the social policy of our society. How should these teachings influence the way that we live together, mm-hmm. and whether that's as a family or as a community? That's very important. Related to that will be some additional studies in the realm of bioethics, areas of the end of life and the beginning of life issues, which more and more are becoming more prominent in first world countries.
Well, as you recall, when our president met with the Pope, what did the Pope give him? But a handbook on bioethics.
Hope he reads them.
Yeah. Well, he said something about, well, this will make for interesting reading on the plane right back. But, you know, so talk about Rome coming back to the United States in the form of our president. That is at the crux of human life. You know, where does life begin? Where does it end? It seems like you're going to be delving into some pretty heavy stuff there, Father.
Yes, to be honest, I look forward to it because, you know, each of us as Christians, whatever we receive, we're then called to give. And I definitely look forward to going over, being able to dive into areas of social doctrine, of bioethics, in order to be hopefully more effective in my own preaching and teaching when I return to the Diocese of Charleston. And this raises a whole question in regards to you mentioned the Holy Father giving President Obama some reading material. But my challenge to each of us is, have we read those documents? You know, have
guilty.
We
I,
you know, right?
I get it filtered through
you know, it's like, oh, here we see our Holy Father, our Pope, Peter, the successor of Saint Peter, the vicar of Christ, giving one of the presidents of the leaders of the free world this reading literature, and we need to ask ourselves, have we read those
right things?
You know? And I suspect that the answer for the vast majority is no. And that's what our show hopes to fix.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So first of all, make people aware. Some people might be sitting, listening, saying, I didn't even know the church wrote about that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Or I did, but can I read that? Is it
Where
readable?
Would I find it?
Exactly. Absolutely. Very practical questions, you know. And so hopefully our show, Pathways to Rome, will be part of the solution.
As I said in our last segment, I've got great friends down here. So I have to admit, sometimes I'm a little lazy and I wait for them to give me the Reader's Digest version.
That's right.
Guilty. So
that's right. It's clean, right?
Yep. Yeah, yep.
That's great.
The condensed issue, definitely.
And Kathy, to go back to your question in regards to where could a member of the faithful find some of these documents, and really in the realm of bioethics, the church has taught extensively. Probably the first resource, and I'm amazed how many people are not aware of it, but actually the Vatican has its own website at www.vatican, that's V-A-T-I-C-A-N, .va. So www.vatican.va. And from there, you can find almost anything that the church has taught. Two other resources that might be helpful is our own Bishops' Conference has a website, which is www.usccb.org. And that stands for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, usccb.org. And finally, the National Catholic Bioethics Center which has an association with our bishops' conference. It's a think tank that explores aspects in bioethics from Catholic principles. And that's www.ncbcenter.org. So www.ncbcenter.org. And any of those could be helpful. But the surprising thing is a lot of Catholics aren't even aware. Has the church talked about the rights of the dying? Or about the use of palliative care? Or absolutely, extensively. And as Catholics, we really should be interested in what the church is teaching. And again, part of this show, our hopes are that we'll be a resource to ourselves and to our listeners.
Well, my wife, Christy, we met at University of Dallas. She came down from Boston College, had gotten a nursing degree up there. She came down to study under Dr. Janet Smith, who's probably one of the foremost experts on these types of issues and tying it in with the Catholic Church. So go look up Dr. Janet Smith and listen to all her stuff. She's excellent on that. You know?
Absolutely. She's very good. And she's been a frequent guest in the Diocese of Charleston.
Oh, has she?
Yes, I did give talks to various places.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's been a frequent guest in various events here in the Diocese of Charleston, including the Fire at the Beach, the Diocesan Retreat and stuff. So
love to see her again.
So this whole question of obedience, again, just brings us back to the question of the Church, of Rome, and so on. And our show, Pathways to Rome, we really are excited about just all the amazing things that are going on in the Church right now. The pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, the various teachings that are coming out, the incredible World Youth Days, the retreats, the Church just seems to be experiencing this incredible renaissance. And we really want to be a part of helping ourselves and the Catholic faithful and any of our listeners to understand what's going on in the Catholic world, because there's definitely a renewal and excitement. And Pathways to Rome, we want you to be a part of this. We want to thank you for listening to our show. We hope you come back. Gus, any concluding comments?
I'm just honored that you chose me to work with you and Kathy. And I'm very honored. I'm very excited to share the faith that I love, that I've come to understand over the years. And I'm just very excited about the show. And thanks a lot for letting me be a part of it.
Well, it's a blessing to have you.
And my sentiments are the same. I've enjoyed today, and I look forward to more shows where we all can learn and grow in our faith and share that with our listeners.
Excellent. Thank you again for joining us, Pathways to Rome. We look forward to having you tune in next week, same time, for Pathways to Rome. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for the opportunity of salvation in him. We thank you for the gift of your church, the many blessings that you give us, the gift of the church's shepherds, your teaching. We ask you to pour out your blessing upon all of us, upon all those who are in need. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Go in peace.
Pathways to Rome was made possible by donations from Dr. Larry and Iris Minetti, Jim and Jan Carino, Donald and Marilyn Reichert, an anonymous sponsor of Catholic Radio, and contributions from Mediatrix Radio listeners. To learn more about Pathways to Rome, or to listen to this or other episodes, Mediatrix Radio's website is www.catholicradioinsc.com.
Perpetual Novena in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, O Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle us in the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
The Memorare. Remember, O most compassionate Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your assistance, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence,
we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency, hear and answer them. Amen.
Prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
O Virgin Immaculate, Mother of the true God and Mother of the Church, you who manifest such kindness and compassion to all who seek your protection, hear the prayer that we pour out to you with childlike confidence. Present it to your Son, Jesus, our soul Redeemer. Mother of mercy, who have taught us hidden and silent sacrifice, and who come to meet us, sinners that we are, on this day we consecrate to you our entire being and love, our life, our labor, our joys, illnesses, and pain. We wish to be yours totally and to walk with you in the way of complete fidelity to Jesus Christ and his Church. Do not release us from your loving hand. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of the Americas, pray for us. Amen.
Put the power of video to work for you. Whether it's a short marketing presentation or an hour-long training video, turn to the Emmy Award-winning experts at Extreme Vision Studios. Present your message clearly and concisely. Video allows you to produce your image and gives you a professional look that shines. Call Extreme Vision Studios today for a free consultation. The number is 864-590-9970. That number again is 864-590-9970. Extreme Vision Studios, proud sponsor of South Carolina Catholic Radio. Polydeck Screen Corporation, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, was founded in Spartanburg in 1978 to manufacture and market modular synthetic screen media in North America. Serving the gold, copper, phosphate, and aggregate industries, Polydeck strives to honor God in all they do. Their phone number is 864-579-4594. They're also on the web at www.polydeckscreen.com. Thomas McAfee Funeral Home, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, has been serving the community since 1913. Offering personalized funeral and cremation services, they're committed to serving you and your family with dignity and respect. This family-owned business can be reached at their downtown chapel at 232-6733, or their northwest chapel at 294-6415, and they're on the web at www.thomasmcafee.com. AKJ Consulting, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, in cooperation with New Way Properties, utilizes years of experience to assist people in finding and acquiring affordable housing in the upstate. They also have a program to assist those in danger of going into foreclosure. For more information, David Case can be reached at 864-430-4877. That's 864-430-4877.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray.
Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Stay, keep
My name is Father Owen Kearns. I'm from the National Catholic Register. And whenever I'm down this area of the South, I just love listening to Catholic Radio on WCKI 1300 AM.